Do you want to feel alive?
Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm Whiskey.
And I'm Charlie.
And this is Whiskey and Charlie.
On the bricks.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode number 7. Today we wanted to talk to you a bit about a creepy, blood-sucking bad guy and not Whiskey's ex.
I don't have one. That'd just be you.
His name is Dracula.
Yeah, Dracula.
You know, with it being a few days before Halloween, we really wanted to continue on the Halloween.
Yeah, one last Halloween.
One last hurrah.
One last hurrah. And what better way to celebrate that hurrah with, like, I mean,
then
arguably the greatest monster.
The Prince of Darkness.
Yeah, the Prince of, there you go. Prince of Darkness, greatest monster. I mean, he's spawned generations and generations of wacky, weird, and fun.
Yeah, well, everything from terrifying to humor, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, Alpha's greatest version is...
Oh, it's straight Hotel Transylvania,
yeah.
Dracula.
And according to Alpha, he definitely does not say blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so I didn't really interview my kids, but I asked my kids, like, what are the things you think of when someone says Dracula? And Alpha says, he can turn into a bat and fly, and he's a friendly guy, and most definitely does not say blah, 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 blah. But has super strength and mind control.
So friendly Dracula, check.
Friendly Dracula, check. That's definitely Adam Sandler's Dracula from Hotel Transylvania, which I have to say is one of my favorite versions. I like to see him as a dad and, you know,
yeah,
kind of fun. Tango, he says that it's definitely, Dracula's a shapeshifter. He didn't just specify bat. He said he could shapeshift into anything, which... cool, I didn't realize that.
Polar bear, maybe?
Yeah, right, polar bear. He said he was a slender dude with really pale skin and definitely over 100 years old. He has super speed, and he is an old, old, old bad guy that lives in a coffin.
Definitely over 100 years old.
Oh, for sure. And the lives in the coffin thing, I think that's a definite trait of Dracula,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Sleeping, at least, in a coffin. And then Echo, he's a vampire. Because he can use mind control on you and can turn into a bat. He's old and uses too much hair gel and needs a suntan.
Too much hair gel.
Yes. I that begs the question, though. Like I asked her, I said, is it too much hair gel or is it just hundred years worth of hair grease just built up?
Does Dracula shower?
That's what we started to talk about. She's like, well, I don't know. Does he shower? Because, like, most vampire movies or shows, they don't shower unless it's for sexy scene. Because, like, Twilight, do they shower? Do they even go to the bathroom?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know if we've ever actually seen a movie where a vampire is like, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom.
I think Hollywood needs to up their game and add the realism.
Something. We need answers, like...
Yeah, I agree.
If they're showering, they obviously have to go to the bathroom. Like, they've got bodily functions that make them sweat. They've got to have... Anyways, we won't get too far down that rabbit hole.
All right. So, one thing I love about Dracula is that it spawned generations of vampire stories.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I tried to Google exactly how many vampire books there were available, and it didn't give me an answer. It just brought up, like... pages and pages of all different kind of novels on vampires and Draculas, and it was a little overwhelming.
Well, and you look at the kind of the history or the amount of stories and movies, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's Dracula, the vampire, has been such a big, it's just such a famous monster, right?
He kind of has, and I mean, we were first introduced to Dracula in 1897, thank you to Bram Stoker, who created the legend known as Dracula. So, yeah, Bram actually named his monster after a real-life prince, which I'm sure some of you know. This is a pretty fun fact in history if you don't know it, but there was Vlad the Impaler, also known as Vlad the Third, and he was a prince who had a fun way of disposing his enemies. Yeah.
Running a pike through their body and standing them upright outside of his castle is fun.
It went from one end up throughout the other. And they just kept them on spikes. Yep. And so all visitors or enemies approaching the castle, beware.
Yeah, that's
I mean, that would make me turn tail and run.
I don't think I'd visit Mr. Vlad very often.
No, I don't think so. But Vlad III was actually born in 1431 in what is now Transylvania. And fun fact about him is his father, Vlad II, was inducted into the Order of the Dragon, which earned him a new surname, Dracul, which old Roman word for dragon. So Vlad III would later be known as the son of Dracul, hence
son
Dracula.
Son of the dragon.
Son of the dragon. In Transylvanian, or not Transylvanian.
Romanian.
Not Romanian. I'm trying to remember. It's actually in Vlad's native language, which I cannot think of the country. Dracul also translates in his language to devil. So I could see where Bram would be like, ooh, devil. And he impaled all of his enemies. He's my monster.
I like how blatantly obvious it is, the, you know, the correlations he made between Dracula and Dracul. Or,
right,
you know,
yeah.
Vlad the Impaler. There's just so many things that, you know, like the son of the dragon. And, you know, for those of you that have seen the movie Dracula, it's...
Which one? I'm just kidding.
Well,
the
original.
Yeah.
I think the, you know, a lot of that story is told in that movie. And it's it's just really interesting to me that history or that, you know, that's how where the inspiration came from.
Well, and what kind of I find interesting is Vlad, to his people, was amazing. He wasn't an evil bad guy. To his enemies, though, he was the devil. So it's just kind of interesting to learn about that and see where he came from. I know there's a lot of books that will try and go into the history of Dracula and vampires. I mean, some of them originate to angels and demons. So there you go. I know, was it one of John Carpenter's movies touches on where the original vampires came from? And it had to do with archangels.
I think the thing that captures my interest most about Dracula is that he's, you know, he's like the most silent threat.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's always there. He's, you never know he's coming, you know, and then all of a sudden it's just
bam, he's there.
Dracula's there. And right. now you're being attacked, or, you know, now you're turning into a vampire or whatever.
If you're lucky, you're turning into a vampire. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think I'd be pretty lucky. I have AB negative blood type.
Oh, no, you'd probably be dead. He'd drain you dry and
just
drain
me dry.
He wouldn't want to keep you around. You'd be like, you know, a piece of really good cheesecake that you don't share. You don't let it sit around too long. You'd be gone. Me, on the other hand, I'm pretty basic.
He's like, no, you're normal.
You're normal. I'd have to, like, charm him and please, Mr. Dracula, turn me. No. I think what I love about Dracula is there's a sex appeal about him. I mean, yeah, he's a baddie, right? But look at all these stories and how he seduces these women. And
it's a very seductive tale.
Very seductive. And yeah, I kind of find that interesting because usually I find men with too much confidence gross. Like, it's a turnoff for me in a way. So I'd probably look at him and go, no. Your poop smells. I can smell from here. You know? But no, I like the seductiveness of it. I like, honestly, I love the immortal factor. Like, I probably would be one of those freaky girls that just begs him to turn her because she could live forever. I love that aspect. There's something very appealing to me about that.
Well, I think that's appealing to a lot of people, is the idea that you're, you know, once turned, you don't feel pain, you don't, you know,
right.
Like, obviously there's pain, I guess, if you go out in the sunlight.
Yeah, well, depends.
Depends on
it
what
depends
version.
Because Stoker's version of Dracula, the sunlight weakened him, but it didn't kill him. It didn't really hurt him too much. It was just kind of like us getting a sunburn. Like yeah. it was a little painful, but not bad. But whereas you have Nosferatu, goes in the sun and poof, he's ashes. So I think it just depends.
Well, and I think I always look at Dracula as a like more of a super.
Mm-hmm.
being or supernatural,
yeah,
more than just a dead thing that comes back to life. Huh, but yeah. I've always looked at him as like an evolution of human.
Oh,
you know, just to me that makes more sense.
I think there's been a story or something kind of towards that same theory.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds familiar anyways, but I like that better too. Is an idea. I don't necessarily subscribe to that idea. I think, you know, that's what's kind of interesting about him is he, I, well,
there's
know.
So many takes on vampires in general.
Right. And
each one has a different version. You know, some they sleep underground. Some they sleep in a coffin. Some they
sleep in a regular bed.
Yeah.
It depends.
Some they, you know, can go out during the day. Some they, you know, there's some they just sparkle.
Oh, gosh. Yes, the sparkles. Yeah, so that brings us to all the different versions of vampires, vampirism. I know they kind of steer away from Dracula, the original, but I think that's copyright issues, so smart on them. But there's hundreds, if not thousands, of movies, TV shows, what have you. And so let's touch on some of the movies.
Well, and we went through and kind of compiled a list of some of the movies that we've enjoyed watching for different reasons, and some of the movies that just flat out were just bad movies.
Twilight,
and,
no what?
And so, it's, you know, we wanted to kind of discuss that list in this podcast. Kinda. Obviously, the original Dracula, 1931, Bela Lugosi.
Yes, like, the best.
The foundation for Dracula.
I agree. Even though Nosferatu came before, no, nothing beats Bela Lugosi's Dracula. And even on the internet, you can read, people will argue with you that it is the best vampire movie of all time.
Well, he was super suave.
He had the appeal. I mean,
he was romantic. He was almost, I would argue that I think Gary Oldman was the better
oh,
Dracula.
I don't know. Gary Oldman was great. Love Gary Oldman. He's in the Bram Stoker's Dracula. I think it came out in the 90s. But Bela Lugosi, he, probably because he's the original.
I think that offers him a lot.
It does. He didn't have anyone, he wasn't following up it on anyone's performance. He was.
Well, that's like why Michael Keaton is always going to be the best Batman for me.
Hands down. See, well, Adam West came before him, but still.
that's a completely different argument, though.
Yeah, that is. But no, Bela Lugosi's Dracula was, if you haven't seen it, Walmart sells copies of it, especially right now.
Like $5 in the DVD.
No, it's actually more because they combined it. They have all the original monster movies. So it's like $20. But I'm sure, find it and watch it. I love the classic black and white movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dracula, Frankenstein, the original ones. So worth it.
Well, and I think the great follow-up to that, and there's a bit of a story behind this one, is Nosferatu.
Yes.
You know, while it's not directly Dracula, it's
No.
It's one of the most profound vampire stories.
Well, and it's, I like it because it's silent.
Yeah.
You know, it was made
German
in 22.
German silent film.
Yeah. 22, 21, somewhere around there, 19. I love it. It kind of gives a more creepy vibe to it.
Well, and that's where I think the, you know, the long fingers and the lot of the really creepiness about Dracula was, and I think for me, that's what's more appealing is the, like, the dark creepiness, you know.
Right. There was no appeal for Nosferatu. Like, he, there was nothing attractive about this man. I mean, he has that huge nose with those really fangy teeth and the bat-like ears almost, you know. He was a creepy-looking dude.
But that's a great movie. And, you know, it really does capture your attention. And I think it actually came out in 39. Because it came out right after
No, I believe it's in the 20s, because I know the director-writer actually came up with the ideas while he was serving in World War I. And so he actually wanted to make a Dracula movie, but Bram Stoker's wife, his widow, wouldn't sell him the rights to it. So he still wanted to make a vampire movie because of all the folklore that he heard in Transylvania, or that area, yeah, from the villagers. So he made Nosferatu, and he was very careful to change certain details. And
that's a lot of why the details are different, yeah, you know, with, regarding sun and things like that.
Right, and he was hoping to avoid a copyright issue.
So then my favorite Dracula, Gary Oldman, 1992.
Yes, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Didn't that one have Keanu Reeves in it?
I do believe Keanu Reeves is the young man that goes.
Great movie.
Yes.
I remember watching that as a kid.
That scared me as a kid. It really did. 12
years old. And
right.
It was, I didn't watch it brand new, but it was a few years after it came out. And I remember that one was creepy.
It was creepy. Gary Oldman, he's a good actor, He's like, incredible. Yeah, you can't argue with his ability and his talent, but he was a good Dracula. He was very creepy, kind of reminds me of the new, I want to say it's a BBC series on Dracula. It's on Netflix. That one's creepy. That one's dark.
I haven't seen that yet,
follows along the same lines as the Bram Stoker, where the young kid comes to the castle, yeah,
and I think that's a pretty standard story that, you know, they have somebody going to the castle for, you know, whatever reason, right?
A lawyer to redo his will or something. Yeah.
And there's always that young,
naive
person that shows up, and they're introduced to this world of terror, and
they have to,
terror and sex, you know,
it kind of is. It's more terror than anything.
Sexy
but
terror.
Sexy terror. Oh my gosh. We're not going to Twilight yet, honey.
No.
Just wait. But no, no, it's always the young, naive guys that are super religious. You have to be super religious.
Hardcore
religious
faith.
With a beautiful fiance waiting for you in another country. That's key. You gotta have the beautiful fiance waiting for you.
That plays a lot into the kind of the hero's journey, you know, story that are
stay
so
pure for their woman.
Yeah.
And
that's a common arc, you know.
It is. No, that is a really, if you haven't seen that one, I highly recommend that. You can't go wrong with Gary Oldman in any movie.
No.
Love him.
Literally every movie he's in is rockets to
even
the top
bad
of
movies.
My face.
He is just amazing. I'm gonna have to say probably one of my favorite Dracula movies is Dracula Untold with Luke Wilson.
Luke Evans.
Luke Wilson's
a different
goodness.
Luke.
Yeah. Definitely not Luke Wilson. Luke Evans. I love that one. Because again, that has a romance to it. He didn't ask for it, but he was trying to just save his family and his wife.
Yep. I think that's the, you know, where it goes into the kind of that romantic. That's a good starting point for the Anne Rice series, you know, the vampire Lestat, and you know, just they have such a, I think, a romantic story in those books.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Hers were very, yeah. I can't say I've only read The Interview with the Vampire and watched the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know,
and
I've never seen Queen of the Damned or the other ones, but she was very good at telling her her vampire stories.
Yeah,
very much so, and she even touched on the little kids and why little kids cannot be turned into vampires, which
because
Kirsten
they
Dunst,
go crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Kirsten Dunst, you convinced us all.
Yeah.
She did, but
so a couple of the variants, you know, I think the best comedy take on Dracula is Dracula Dead and Loving It.
That one is a good one.
Leslie Nielsen.
I love that man. He's a staple in my life.
That's a funny movie.
I'd have to say my favorite comedic take would be What We Do in the Shadows.
That's a good one.
That is a great movie. If you love the dry British humor, which
isn't that
is
the one
best.
Where the dude's locked in the room because he's so far gone to being a vampire
yes.
that he can't.
They're like their master guy.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's a movie which came out quite a while ago, and then now there is a TV series on FX.
Because I think I've seen the movie.
Yeah, you've seen the movie. We've watched the movie together, and then I've watched a few episodes of the FX show when I can actually find the time to watch it without, you know, forgetting.
Without kids around.
But I mean, it is brilliant. It's just dark and off the wall. They have one of my favorite vampires in there, which he's an energy vampire. So he will bore you to death, basically, and steal your energy. I love it.
That's awesome.
And he just dresses in normal clothes, whereas the other vampires are in these, like, Victorian outfits.
Just a dude.
He's just a dude. It's just
boring.
Yeah. Check out What We Do in the Shadows if you just want to have fun. It's a good one.
I agree. It is a funny movie. I can't speak to the show, but if the show is anything like the movie, yeah, it's funny.
It is. It's got an amazing cast of writers and actors, so definitely check that one out.
So then we go into a couple of the, I think my favorite era of vampires are Blade and Underworld.
Underworld, that's those, a good one.
You know, like I think Wesley Snipes did such an incredible job in Blade. Like, I know there's a lot of people that, you know, love him, a lot of people that don't. Yeah, I think
either you like him or you don't.
Yeah, I think as Blade, he was such a badass.
He was Blade. Like, I have not seen too much. I've seen a few Wesley Snipes. Oops, we're just going to set that there. But I've seen a few of his shows. But Blade is, that's another fun one. Like, it's serious, but it's fun.
Yeah.
I remember the one opening scene. I don't know what Blade it is. It might be the one with Ryan Reynolds in it. But they're in a dance club, and then all of a sudden, like, the sprinklers come on, and it's just blood.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. It's fun. It's just a fun, like, action.
Yeah.
I would say more than scary or anything. It's an action
movie. Well, and
movie.
That's where I think I enjoy Wesley Snipes movies because of movies like Demolition Man and,
oh, gosh, you know, that's right.
Movies like that where, when I was growing up, those were movies I watched a lot.
Yeah.
And I think Blade is the vampire version of those, you know?
Kind of is. And Underworld, too. I would say that's, I like the story. I think that has a little more story for me that I got into.
Yeah.
But it is, again, it's another action.
And Underworld was a good take on it, having the, you know, the like, the master vampires that, you know, and they built a good story around that. And I appreciated that. And Kate Beckinsale was,
She's fabulous. Like, I'd leave Tim for her. Tim would leave me for her.
I'd leave me for her, too.
And we'd be both okay with it. No, I like Underworld. It has the lycans in it.
Yeah.
Which the lycanthrope are werewolves. And I like to see that, you know, the
conflict. The contention between the two, yeah.
That we cannot live together. Oh, yes, you can. No.
Yeah.
But that's a good series. I'm trying to think. Of course, there's Twilight. We can touch on Twilight.
Well, I think it's let me phrase it the best way I can.
Yeah, gently.
I think it's a good take if your imagination is very small.
Okay. Wow. I read the books. I enjoyed the books.
I read the books too.
Okay. I read the books. I was dealing with postpartum depression at the time when I was introduced to Twilight, and it completely took my brain away. Like, it just helped me escape everything. Well, I read those books so fast, and I enjoyed them.
I think that's
them.
Important, because those books, I think, were written specifically to elicit that type of response, where people could get lost in the fantasy.
Oh, it, for
of
sure.
Vampires.
For sure.
And so for
I think
that,
many women
and
did.
Especially since we try to have a mental health podcast, I think to note that that is a good resource and that people can use that.
I highly recommend that. Yeah,
you know,
reading.
Kind of just get out of their existence, even if temporarily.
Yes.
I think that's great.
Oh, I do too. But also on the mental health and awareness, note that Edward is abusive. Girls, Edward is not a good guy. Not a huge fan of Jacob either.
No.
No.
I mean, we have Echo, right? Our daughter. And I think it's important to note that neither of us really subscribe to the idea that, you know, the man controls the woman.
Oh, gosh, no. No. So, but as far as movies go, I don't like her vampires.
I think they're very weak vampires.
I get her idea of the sparkly skin. I do. I get that in the book.
You know, like diamond skin, I get
it. I can see it in the book, but it did not translate well to film.
No, I just think that as vampires, they're kind of the... Yeah, they're lackluster vampires, right?
They are. And, you know, we've got the Vampire Diaries, which are also teenage heartthrobs, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're a step up. I would say, I don't know. Yeah, they're a step up from the Twilight vampires. I think Twilight was very... It was too soft for my vampires.
Yeah.
I like the fangs.
And I think it's important to not leave out True Blood.
Oh my goodness.
We didn't even talk about that. And
oh my goodness. True
Blood is...
Well, okay, hold the phone. It's a
completely different version.
Hold the phone. I loved True Blood because I am a Sookie Stackhouse book series fan.
Yeah.
And so for the first couple seasons, they followed the books. And so I was loving it. But then the writer kind of went super political on it and turned it and twisted it where it was no longer what I loved.
The books that you enjoyed, yeah.
No, but however, I do love the vampires in that series.
I think if we're going to be honest, HBO does that quite a bit.
They do, it is an HBO movie. There is going to be lots of sex. I really want to tell a story about what happened with my sister and her husband when they were watching it in their bedroom. Their kids walked by and thought something else was going on. Yeah, so that's
but
the
case.
They were just watching True Blood. I think that's when they stopped watching True Blood. But no, I love the vampires in those. They did stick
those
to the vampires. They were
great vampires.
They were traditional. They were
super fast, super strong. You know,
some of them could fly if they were old enough. I mean, the older, the stronger.
Well, and that was the thing is that, and that's one thing I like about the idea of vampires is that the older they get,
the stronger
they get.
Right, exactly. Know? They're not getting weak and feeble. They're just great, gaining strength. I love that.
Well, and even as they get, you know, like, and the ones that, you know, because they still age, just like an extremely exaggerated aging process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you look at like, as well, let's take back to Underworld, right? The ancient vampires.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Ancient.
They're,
you know,
super old.
And they look old. And they, you know, at any moment, those vampires could
kill
probably
you. Just like.
Yeah, they wouldn't even have to try.
Yep. Well, and I like how they have to, because there's so many, three or four, however many were.
Three, I think.
The ancient ones, they do their sleep. So only one's awake at a time. I
so
like
that they're
theory.
Protected, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that theory. That's really cool.
And I think for me, probably the top of my list for recent takes on vampires is The Strain. And
ooh, I didn't watch that one. That was a little scary for me.
I read the book and I watched a little bit of the television show. I didn't like the TV show as much, but it deals with, you know, like the ancient vampires, but their take on vampires is really neat. And I liked how it had to be like a total eclipse for the vampire to be able to leave, you know, like Europe and come to America. And it really was like,
that's interesting.
There was a lot of forethought put into
that
story.
I liked what they add in, like paranormal or like supernatural events in them, because they are supernatural beings in my, you know, I think that's what they're categorized as, supernatural.
And I really enjoyed The Strain. I think what The Strain offers a lot more than the vampires, though, is the story about the, you know, them hunting and learning about this vampire. Because it is, you know, kind of that suspense novel built on the characters that are learning about and figuring out. And they have the token guy that's like, I know it all. And, you know, he shares that knowledge.
You were like blowing my mind because it just reminded me of one of my favorite vampire movies ever. 40 Days of 40 Nights. Or 40 Days, 40 Nights.
No. 30 Days of Night.
30 Days of Night. Oh my gosh. I got his two movies confused. Okay, Josh Hartnett's in two movies with numbers in them.
40 Days and 40 Nights would be a completely different.
40 Days was the one he did for Lent.
Lent,
sorry.
Yeah.
Gosh.
30 Days of Night.
30 Days of Night is the vampire
one. Vampires in Alaska.
This is terrifying to me. This is this concept, because there's this town in Alaska that goes dark because they don't get the sun. And it's just a small little town. And so a lot of the families leave. You know, they leave because it's the middle of winter, it's freezing,
and the vampires
no sun.
Just happened across the town.
They sent, well, what I love is they send in your boyfriend,
Ben Foster.
They send in this, like, crazed guy to warn the town, and the town just locks him up, thinking, oh, he's just a kooky guy. And then these vampires are creepy. There's nothing appealing about them. They are pure animals. Animals, and they just, one by one, are
just
blocking
carnage.
People off. Yeah. And finally, then Josh Hartnett, the hero of the day, becomes, you know, infected to kick everyone's butt and save the day.
Yeah.
And then ends up dying on the last night as the sun rises and he's sitting there with his ex-wife.
No, and I think for me, the hero story behind vampires has always been the best part of those stories.
That's probably my favorite hero story of vampires.
I think that's why I liked Blade so much, because he's not only the hero, he's a vampire, but he's a hero. And
it's the same in Underworld. She's the vampire, but she's also the hero.
I think that's probably the most important takeaway, is the heroes are the point of the vampire movies.
Yeah, I like that. I like it. I don't know. I kind of get sick of the vampires that are, oh, I'm a vampire, I'm a monster, I can't kill anybody. But like, no, you're a vampire, that's what you're supposed to do. Give us some of the vampires.
Bro, go kill something.
Like, I just want to look at Edward and be like, Edward, come on. Just one blood bag. Yeah. You'll be fine. No more rabbit juice.
No, I agree. Like, I think vampires with humanity, it doesn't really work, in my opinion.
No, and my brain again. Sorry, my brain is
no. I can spazzy. Appreciate vampires that display humanity. I don't think
to a point, but they're not human.
But that to so me, they that shouldn't have they, that. You know, like their humanity should be like, let's not kill kids, you know, or let's not murder all the cats, you know. Like those are things that I think
fair.
But I think a vampire still has to be a vampire. It still has to be that bloodlust. It still has to want
And I think they try to get that across in almost every television show, every movie, that they are monsters. Which, CW, can you drive that fact
Except
in a little bit harder?
For Hotel Transylvania.
Oh, I love Hotel Transylvania.
Because he's awesome.
And he doesn't say blah, blah, blah.
Not at all.
I love that movie. That's just a great one. But no, I mean, for as many movies and TV shows there are just as many books. Like I said, I tried to find the exact number. It was impossible. Some good book series. There is, of course, Anne Rice's trilogy. I think it's trilogy, or it's three or four books.
I want to say it's trilogy. I thought it was The Interview with Vampire, The Vampire Lestat, and Queen of the Damned.
And Queen of the Damned.
But
okay.
I could be wrong.
Like I said, I've only read Interview with the Vampire. She actually, I think that's kind of what got her such notoriety and fame, was her vampire books. I know she's kind of stepped away from that. She's trying to not go so evil and dark, but more power to her. My favorite is actually, I haven't read it for years, but it was The Historian. That's a good take on like the history. She's trying to find out, you know, dive into all this, study and who he was. That's a really good one. My favorite series, of course, is the Sookie Stackhouse series. I loved her vampires. I loved the way she did it. And I loved the romance and just all the fun. She has fairies and all that in there.
Well, I think Sookie Stackhouse and True Blood can really be bunched into kind of a fantasy world.
Oh, it is. It's
with supernatural, more so than just vampires.
No, vampires are definitely like the main.
Because they have the fae and the lycan and you know, shapeshifters.
Oh, they've
got
some weird stuff on. Yeah, they go. Yeah, make. I think she made up some stuff too. And then you know, we talked about the Twilight series, which it's fun. I'm not judging anybody who loves it. It's fun.
Yeah.
And actually, I am tempted to read the new Midnight Sun one.
And like I said, I've read all four of the books in that series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed to say. I mean, I enjoy reading, period.
Well, and they're just good, so, quick reads.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed to say I enjoyed the books. I just think that
the movies were just horrible.
To give it proper credit, I think the movies were worse than the books.
Oh, for sure.
The books were entertaining.
I just don't think it translated well.
No, I don't think it did either. It turned into an angsty teenage movie.
Yeah.
Versus a kind of a romantic vampire novel.
And I like,
you know?
I like teenage angsty movies. Like, I love the To All the Boys I Loved and all, you know, Kissing Booth ones. But
yeah,
Twilight
that's where
was just
I draw
bad.
The line.
Yeah, I know. I like watching those movies. What can I say? We can't finish tonight's Dracula and vampire talk without noting there are actual people, humans, who believe they are vampires.
I think Alpha's one of them.
He might be. He's going to be, I mean, there are some that believe that they need to drink blood to survive. There are others that believe that they're energy vampires, like the one from What We Do in the Shadows, which makes me laugh that they just like to go into crowds of people and drain their energy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is definitely alpha.
I feel like I had a lot of school teachers that were energy vampires.
They had to be. Seriously.
Like high school and college.
I never had college teachers, but I had some high school teachers. There are people to
this
day
I've worked with people that are energy vampires. Maybe this is a real thing. Maybe vampires have just been
they believe it is.
Wrong the whole time. And it's just that regular boring ass people are energy vampires and you have to deal with them every day.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, we can forgive him. He's just a vampire. He doesn't need
That's going to be our new bumper sticker. Please forgive me. I'm just an energy vampire.
Oh, I didn't mean to. Sorry, sir. No, it's funny. They don't necessarily believe they're immortal. Some of them believe they have psychic abilities or, you know, telekinesis abilities.
Yeah.
But there was actually an interview in 2009, I want to say, with a nurse in Atlanta who was head of the Atlanta Vampire Association. So... they're among us people. Watch out. No. I think they do, some of them have parties where they have blood donors that will allow them to...
I think that's where I draw the ultimate
line. That's so gross!
Like,
oh,
I've been punched in the mouth plenty of times and tasted my own blood, and I don't think I can stomach tasting somebody else's blood.
That's like, I just couldn't. I couldn't get past it. I couldn't. No. Plus, you never know where someone's been.
Yeah.
That's like I'm a germaphobe normally. And so that, I don't think I could just.
No.
I'm sorry, Charlie. I love you. I don't think I could drink your blood.
I don't really think I'd ever ask you to.
Mm-mm.
To be honest.
Mm-mm. Okay. So if Dracula was real and he came to you and said, I like you. I think you'd be a great asset to my team. Would you allow him to train you?
I wouldn't even, it wouldn't even be a second thought. I'd be like, let's do it.
Right? Like, same.
I'd be like, do you want to come in and take care of it right now? Right. You know? I don't even need to sign paperwork.
I feel the same, except for the human part of me goes, oh, but my family.
You've got family until they die, and then you've got family.
No. I'd be like, as soon as my kids are a certain age, I'll turn them.
There you go.
I'm going to turn my husband and then my kids.
No, I think with the children, that's definitely a part of the decision. But...
right. But no, there's that appeal. I'm telling you, superhuman strength, I mean, abilities.
Yeah, if I could.
Immortality.
Dude, I'm 37 years old and everything hurts right now.
Oh my gosh,
like,
no.
If I could just get rid of that part of life.
Right?
And if I have to live forever... then so be it.
But what if, because sometimes the things that we deal with are amplified, like our mental abilities or our personalities are amplified with this new power. Like, that's where I'd be like, do I really want that amplified?
That's why I practice stoicism.
I know.
You're but could you just imagine, like, when I, like, if I did get mad?
Oh, no. Like, no. That'd be horrible.
I'd throw a house to the moon.
You probably would. You'd be like, you throw all the cows. All the cows would go flying over the moon. Now, me, could you imagine me? I'd be obnoxious. Like, I'm pretty obnoxious now, as is, right? Like, I look at you some days and go, oh, my gosh, this is the day he's going to push me away. But I'd probably be the most... I'd be an Edward. I'd be so annoying.
Just be extra whiskey.
I'd be extra whiskey, but could you imagine on my down days? Like, I would...
There'd just be rivers of tears.
Just bloody tears. Because don't vampires, like, cry blood?
Well, in True Blood, they cry blood.
They do.
I don't know about others. Like, I don't...
Oh, I know in Vampire Diaries, they don't. They just have regular tears.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Vampire Diaries, they're not really vampires. They're just... things that drink blood every now and then. They're weird because they can go out in the day, they take showers.
No, the ones that go out in the day
have
the
rings.
They
have their special rings, right? That's right. However, I do enjoy those vampires. They're fun eye candy. But no,
I think the final note that I have is that when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
I was Dracula for Halloween.
Oh my gosh, you were so cute. I've seen the pictures.
Times.
Eight times?
Yeah,
I've only seen one picture.
Like, I was Dracula so many damn times.
It's because your hairline. You have a widow's peak.
It offers a great advantage to
and
being
your nose.
Dracula.
And you had, well, you used to have a straight nose.
Yeah, now it's just crooked.
Yeah, but you used to have a straight, pointy nose. So I could see it.
Yeah, I have a pretty V-shaped hairline.
Yeah, now he just looks like he's going bald. But it's sexy.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
He's not going bald. He's got a full head of gray hair. But no, I think, yeah, your hairline definitely plays into that spooky Dracula look. So no, I could see you finding the appeal of wanting to be a Dracula. Yeah. You're always kind of a ladies' man, too. Like, yeah.
You know it.
Well, I think that's about all we have on Dracula and Vampires for tonight. We hope you guys have a very happy and safe Halloween.
Yep. Remember, safe out there.
6 feet apart. Not too many crowded places.
Remember to pull the razor blades out of your apples.
Oh, yes. Definitely check all the kids' candy for any kind of heroin, meth, any, you know.
People love to give away their drugs on Halloween, apparently.
Right. Apparently. I'm like, you guys know how much drugs cost. Like, I don't think they're giving that stuff away for free. But no, definitely have a fun, safe Halloween. Make the most of it. Yeah, social distance. Be smart. But make the most of it. Our mental health needs it.
And one thing that we've really, I think we're most excited for is we've built the candy chute.
Oh, yes. We'll have to post pictures.
Set up on our driveway so that the candy can be launched at the children instead of just...
It's a 10-foot long pipe. So it's going to be fun. And the kids decorated it with some spider webs and some glow-in-the-dark spiders. And I've got some lights. We're going to make it look pretty cool. So we'll have to post pictures of that. But
yep. And if you would like, you can see Whiskey's first blog on our website at whiskeyandcharlie.com. And she talked just briefly about kind of having a breakthrough with mental health and finding silver linings in life. So yeah. I felt it was a really good blog post. I think it's worth a read.
Be kind. It's my first ever. And like I said, once I graduated high school, I never looked back at school.
Don't worry, I edited it for
you.
So.
Thank you. But no, and thanks for your support and continuing to listen to us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, and for the random person in France and the random person in the UK that listened to our podcast, thank you.
Yeah, you made our day.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
That was pretty awesome. Have a great Halloween, and remember to go find your Yeti. If you'd like to hear more of our episodes, please check out our website at whiskeyandcharlie.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you'd like to hear us speak about a certain topic or subject, please feel free to contact us through our website, and you can look forward to hearing new episodes Mondays and Thursdays. Thank you. Hey everyone, remember that Whiskey and I are not medical professionals. We're not aiming to offer you any medical advice. We're here to entertain, and if you do need any medical help, please seek it out from a medical professional. Thank you, and go find your Yeti.